How do you measure yourself with other golfers?
By height.
It's a very, very special honor.
I'm Paula Creamer, and you're listening to Golf Talk Live.
Well, we're waiting.
Hi, this is Martin Cove, a.k.a. John Kreese from Cobra Kai, and you're listening to Golf Talk Live.
Welcome to another episode of Golf Talk Live. We're in the 19th hole, our virtual roundtable conversation about the golf industry, the men and women that are shaping it. And we chat a little, talk a little smack about usually Andrew's putting stroke. But today, folks, we've got a special, special show. We are at the end of the year. All the tours are off. So we're going to count down top 10. Everybody likes to have a top 10 so we can have a debate. The top 10 news stories for 2020, actually the 2019-2020 tour wraparound, but just 2020 in general. And next week, which we'll elaborate on more, we're going to discuss our predictions for what the future looks like. Joining me, as always, Christian Nazamas.
How's it going, guys?
There you go. Okay. Andrew DePue.
Hey, I think in his defense there, he's definitely he was waiting. You always give us crap if we butt in, so I think he was just waiting. That, you know, I think that's on you.
Okay, well that's
I love you, but you know I didn't want to butt in again, so I was just waiting for the proper introduction.
I appreciate the respect of your elders. I am Alan DePue, and folks, we're gonna get right to it. Number 10 on our list. Open for debate, but boys, I've got the golf hoodie. The changing of fashion in the golf industry. I know.
About you already know it's coming.
At this point, I think this is like the majority of what our shows usually consist of, is this debate of golf hoodie versus non-golf hoodie. So
look, here, I would have written this off as just like a flash in the pan had Rory not stepped up on the tee with a golf hoodie on. Okay. Even as we record this, folks, I am sitting in my traditional, got a Christmas sweater, have my little polo on underneath. I am the traditionalist in the group. The younger guys here in the debate, is the golf hoodie changing the world of fashion?
Absolutely.
Andrew, do you want to start or do you want me to start?
Yeah, I mean, I got a couple of notes here right off the get-go. I try to come prepared for these top 10s because I thought this was an awesome top 10 that we put together. So, I mean, right off the get-go, golf hoodie sales went through the roof as soon as Tyrrell Hatton wins on the tour over, and I think it was the European Tour. I can't remember the exact tournament. You know, goes off the hinges. Rory wears it. Nike's, you know, golf hoodie. It goes off the hinges. I mean, guys are coming out saying that our PGA professionals, that they need to make the game fun again. And by doing something like as simple as wearing a hoodie on the golf course and having that be socially acceptable is going to make the game fun, and people that are the average Joe is going to be interested in it. So, I mean, that's my one real quick point on it. I think it's great for the game. I think this traditionalist is obviously still going to be there, but you know, we are here to make sure that the average guy and girl are able to join the game and not feel pressured into going the traditional route. And I think this is the start to that trend moving forward, I guess you would say.
Yeah, I mean, I agree flat out with Andrew first and foremost. I think it's changing the game personally. But you also have the traditionalists out there like Alan yourself, like who like the collars, the regular pullovers and all that stuff. And yeah, that look is nice and stuff like that. But again, I agree with Andrew. I think it's going to change the game. And I think you'll see many more, you know, younger guys, even older guys. I wouldn't be even surprised in 2021 if it's a little chilly out, Phil throws it on. I'm just saying, I don't know, Phil with the calves and sitting by the fire and just Phil having a good time. I wouldn't be surprised if Phil busts it.
Look, you've busted on me before because I've worn a hoodie on air.
Hey,
and
I'm just saying,
I am all about the hoodie. I just don't wear the hoodie on the golf course. That's all I'm saying.
I think Phil will rock it in 2021. I'm saying sometimes in California, it gets a little chilly. All right. He may need to sit down by the fire and have a, you know, a little nice warm jacket around him, and the golf hoodie's perfect.
Okay.
I think that's spot on. It's to teach their own at this point. As long as the golf industry is open to the change and the nuances need to be a little bit relaxed, you know, not so traditional, I think the game of golf is in a very good place coming here at the end of 2020. So continue. Sorry.
All right. And Phil, if you'd like to join us to talk about the golf hoodie, I'm sure Christian would love to ask you to
see absolutely. If
you can rock it or not. Number nine on the list, and I know this is a debate. You guys don't see it maybe from your perspective, but this is big. It's big in the global picture, in my opinion. And since I made the list up, that's why I put it on there. So Callaway previously had owned 14% of Topgolf. They purchased now up to 48% in a $2 billion transaction. Callaway pretty much owns Topgolf at this time. What say you, Andrew?
Well, you used my one point. I mean, an approximation of $2 billion buy of their stock and basically ownership was massive. I think it's going to be great for the game. I think it's something that, again, what's cool about Topgolf, and we, I don't know, Christian, I can't remember if you've actually said you've been to one or not. I know we've been to one. But the big thing with Topgolf for me is, again, it opens the door for others that are not, you know, totally in the game. It allows people that, you know, never hit a golf ball before, but are trying to go to a driving range, enjoy some drinks with friends and food with friends. It allows them to do that. I think I'm surprised that it took this long. I know we've talked about it. I'm sure if I went back to watch the tape that I'd say the same thing, that it's surprising it took this long for somebody to jump on board. But it's going to be great for the game. I hope that they can continue doing other initiatives with Topgolf for not just the overall golf experience, but nuance to it. So, you know, maybe it's junior golf. They do a certain segment for them. Maybe it's women in golf for another segment, and try to really truly expand the game. I think that's going to be important.
Okay. I've got one, but I'm going to let Christian expound on this. And then I'm going to tell you why they did it.
Yeah, no, I mean, obviously it's huge for golf and the golf industry itself. I mean, you're now, like, when you go to Topgolf now, and I've had the opportunity to go to a few, and it's just an unreal experience when you go there. It's just so much fun. You get to kick back, relax, have a few drinks, you know, hit a couple golf shots here and there. But most importantly, now that when you go there, you're going to have Callaway clubs in every single slot that you're going to. And that's huge. So if you have somebody who's a beginner golfer and they go out there and they hit some of their clubs, it could be brand new, it could be a couple years old, you know, but they're going to get used to that. And then they're going to end up buying those clubs later down the road. That's going to be huge, I think. And I think Callaway, I mean, it was a great investment on their part. And I think that their numbers are really going to spike here. I think once
even start that, I think that Christian just stole your point. I didn't even think about that side of the thing, but you're 100% right. I think the fact that they get to have their clubs in people's hands that never maybe had a set of clubs before, that's going to be huge for their sales.
It goes from, you know, if you're a beginner and a junior, woman or man, like, it's going to be, everybody's going to be holding Callaway clubs and they go hit at Topgolf now. So it's going to be huge.
You're smiling. So I think we hit it on the head.
I tried to interject something new here, guys. And I failed epically, but I got a little ding there. I was going to go ding, 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 ding. You hit it. Like everything in life, it doesn't matter. Follow the dollar. Okay. They bought this. They exercised their right. They move up to basically not a majority share, but they got to basically control of Topgolf now. But it's all about branding. It's all about putting their product in beginners' hands.
Yep,
stats have shown it.
I mean, it's huge.
Topgolf is changing. Has changed the golf industry. Double-digit growth rates, 10% plus. It's all about the dollar. Follow the dollar.
Yeah, it's huge.
I think it's a great move.
Yeah, I mean, you take somebody like Andrew's fiance, and I'll take my girlfriend as an example. Like, when they're beginner golfers, they're not, they don't know the difference between Titleist, TaylorMade, Callaway, all that stuff. So, you know, if Andrew and myself bring them to
a driver and a fairway, so yeah,
it's true, a driver, a three wood and stuff, but they don't know the difference between the brands. But if we take them now to a Topgolf, and now that's the only club they're allowed to hit, I mean, they may fall in love with it, they may not like it, but most of the time now that they're most likely going to fall in love with it, and that's huge. So I think that they're going to do big things.
I agree.
I think they really separated themselves from other companies too. And I know, I mean, everybody knows Titleist, everybody knows TaylorMade and stuff like that, but not to the caliber of what Callaway is going to be doing here. I think Callaway is really going to be separating themselves personally.
All right. I agree. Moving on. Number eight. And it's actually a two-parter, guys. One is, well, let's start with this, the continued youth movement on the PGA, specifically the PGA Tour. And then I'm going to actually throw a little Jordan Spieth continued struggles. Who wants it first, Andrew?
Can I go in reverse order rather than the youth movement and start with the struggles?
Go ahead.
All right, so perfect, because I had this – I'm being the stats guy tonight. I came prepared. You gave us the list. I came prepared. Number one reason Spieth is struggling is not because of his overall game or his overall ability. It's one simple thing, and that's ball striking. The dude fell off of the face of earth when it came to ball striking. His putting and everything else has stayed somewhat similar over the course of the time. Obviously, you know, his putting went up a little bit because he's just not hitting the ball close enough to the hole, so he's not making as many putts. But his ball striking fell off of planet Earth. So in 2016, he was 25th on tour in ball striking. 2017, he was second. 2018, he was 23rd. And then here's where he falls off planet Earth. 2019, he was 157th. In 2020, he was 161st. I don't know anybody who could physically get the job done on the PGA Tour with as many guys on that tour that are as good as they are hitting it like that. I read a couple of different articles again, just to try to get into, you know, a stance of, you know, where could we make this argument? And a lot of them are saying the same thing. They think it's easy fixes. It's more of a mental block at this point where he's just not being able to strike the ball like he used to. And hopefully he gets it back. As far as youth movement, I'll let you guys kind of take the lead there. But, you know, I think it's great for the game that we have so many young guys at the top of the leaderboard, because it's just like when I was growing up and Christian were growing up with Tiger. You now have those guys who are going to be lifelong fans of these players the whole way through their career. And it's just setting up for, again, I said it once already this show, but I'll say it again. It's setting up great for golf here at the end of 2020.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, like, Jordan's a huge, huge figure when it comes to golf. I mean, I'm a huge fan of Jordan just by the way he handles himself on and off the golf course. And it's actually been tough to watch somebody that high up and that well-liked really struggle with golf this season. And I really hope that, you know, in this offseason now, he can really kind of figure it out and really get that ball striking down and, you know, get back to where he once was, because I know he's not far off from doing that. So I really hope to see Jordan up on top of leaderboards in 2021, specifically in majors, as well as every other tournament that he plays in. But like Andrew said, going back to the youth movement, I mean, golf right now is just in a great spot. We've said it before on the show. We'll say it again, you know, with Bryson doing what he's doing right now, with, you know, all these younger guys like a Matthew Wolff, Victor Hovland, you know, the names go on and on and on. You know, these guys are just changing the game. They all want to hit the ball as far as they can. You know, the workout programs, the diets that they're on, all that stuff. They all just want to be the best in the world. And it's always fun to watch these guys play week in and week out, because you don't know who's going to win. It could be DJ 5 weeks in a row. Then it could be Rory 4 weeks in a row. You just don't know. So, you know, the golf's in a great spot. It's going to be great going into 2021. I think there's going to be a lot of first-time winners in 2021, specifically in majors, personally. And I think we're in for a big year. What was that?
You're getting a show ahead there, but no, you're 100% right. I think the big thing too for me, from the youth movement, hey, you can get the old guy perspective here. The youth is talking youth. No, so realistically,
you're talking about two youths.
Yeah, two youths. No, realistically, the big thing for me, and I didn't mention it, but you kind of brought it up, is the fact that these athletes, and they're athletes. Golf used to be the average Joe is able to go out and play the game, even on the tour. Like, you saw guys were not as physically fit as they are nearly today. And I think that's what's changing the game from the youth perspective. Like, these guys are coming out mentally, physically, and everything in between ready to play on tour. And it's great for the game because it helps
All right, I'm going to interrupt right there, because a couple months ago, Billy Hurley is on our show, and that's exactly what he said. Billy's in his late 30s now and rehabbing, but everybody that's coming out, they're coming out as better athletes. You're seeing the Tiger effect that's gone into it. These guys are now at that age. They're there. They're ready. They're hungry. I mean, you had two first-time – everything's measured off the majors, right? You had two first-time winners. under 30 winners in majors this year. DJ adds a second major. But an interesting statistic. It's all about the, again, earnings, right? It's all about the dollar. In 2019, 2020, you had four people, DJ, Webb Simpson, Rory, Patrick Reed, over the age of 30. And Patrick was 30 and Rory was 31. So, I mean, that's right on the cusp.
Yeah.
In the first, through the first, what now, six events, I think, that they're doing on the wraparound, you have DJ and Jason Kokrak. That's it. Everybody else is in their 20s.
Mm-hmm.
So, youth movement is here. Youth movement is here to stay. I think that as they come out, they're only going to get better, and they're hitting it long, which we'll talk about in a few minutes, potentially, maybe not. But they are certainly rolling the rock, which leads us right to a perfect putting opportunity. Andrew?
Hey, you saw the video. You've now seen footage. I have actual footage out there that I have gotten better. Which does lead to a great segue to our good friends over at Perfect Practice. I said it many of times on the show. I'll continue saying it ever till, you know, we continue to hopefully actually learn how to putt here eventually one day where I don't get made fun of. But anyway, so the guys over at Perfect Practice, they were able to partner up with us for our December product of the month, which we'll touch on in here in a second. But these guys are fantastic people. We've gotten to speak with Ed on the show. And quite frankly, they've truly helped my game. They're going to help the other people's game. But I've already heard from a lot of people that reached out to me for holiday gifts for their family and their friends that are golfers. And they're saying they're loving their putting mats. So we thank them for their ability to let us continue to have a discount code and offer to give out to our viewers. I definitely recommend anybody that is looking for a way to practice during this holiday season going into the new year in cold weather where you're not able to golf, definitely have to try them. So use our code, which is GTL15. Again, that's GTL15 for 15% off their store. They are bow back in stock. I'm not going to take full credit, but I think that we sold them out here with all of our abilities because they were sold out for a little while. But that does lead me into my next kind of little segue. We are noticing a very good successful trend with these. So if you are a company and you are listening, please give us a shout. We are filling up very fast for our products of the month. They can be a perfect testimonial to that of how successful they were with working with us. So little shameless plug to our good friends over at Perfect Practice. So again, that's GTL15.
And a beautiful shameless plug it was, folks. If you would like to join us in 2021, as we're moving to our podcast digital platform only, we would love to have you join us. It's going to be some exciting times. We've got some great ideas. And it moves us to number 7 on our list, and appropriate is I should be talking about this because
I was going to say, you want to take the lead on this one?
Yes, I do. But I want to back up for 1 second to the putting map for one brief moment. Christian, I don't know if you were aware, if I told you, I dropped the first 3 balls in the ground. I drilled 3 right in a row, right in the smaller cup on the Perfect Practice putting mat. Just saying. Okay, number 7.
It looked great. First off, Andrew, your putting strokes looks a little better, by the way. It's still a little wobbly, you know. But
hey, listen, the mat, the mat's definitely helping. I have to roll it up every time, so there is a slight little edge. I've learned that there is a break in the putt, so I'm starting to play that.
I'm still taking your dad, though, over yourself. That's just
1,000%. I got some work to do, but I'm getting there. I'm getting there.
Anyway, I don't know about your dad over myself, but I'm
number 7 for the 50-year-old set.
There you go.
Mentioned already once on the show, Calves of Adonis, Phil Mickelson, turns 50.
Coffee for wellness.
Coffee for wellness. We talked about it on the show. I put this on the top 10 list for a simple reason. I think he is going to reinvigorate the Champions Tour. You still got the guys out there. Every once in a while, somebody new comes on, the Bernard Longers, who's ageless. But Phil, how much notoriety did the Champions Tour get because Phil went out there to Arkansas, teed it up, hit it 313 off the tee. How much notoriety did he get down at the Dominion down in Richmond? I think it's the best thing that could happen for the Champions Tour.
1,000%. I think Phil turning 50 is the first step to these guys that are getting to that age or close enough to that age to truly give them the consideration of like, hey, this is something I can continue to do. I won't make plans for Tiger, but I think this is something that Tiger should look to do. Maybe not all the time, but I think he'll play in a few events here and there just to have, you know, the competitive nature fulfilled throughout the year. But Phil turning 50 and going to the Champions Tour and not just going and playing, but straight up dominating. Two events, two wins. Only two events that he played in, but I mean, in one in dominant fashion in both. It's starting to, you're starting to see that, you know, these guys do have the game still. It's just they don't have the length to compete with those younger athletes that are coming on there. I mean, Phil, hold on a second. 16, Phil had 16 events on the PGA Tour in the 2020 season based on PGAtour.com. Okay. 16 events, he only had three top 25s.
Okay.
We're talking about the youth movement. The youth movement is real. The dominance from these 30s and younger players is real. Phil is still out there competing. He's still in the top 25. He's still in the mix, but he's not to the level that we once knew Phil to be. So having this outlet where we can still see Phil being Phil and dominating like when we were growing up is going to be something that I hope he continues to do, because it's makes the game fun to watch when you have a bunch of, let's face it, journeymen playing on a week that there's nobody
all right.
there.
All right, Christian.
I mean, I think Phil's going to dominate the Champions Tour personally. That's the only thing I'll say on that one. But Phil can also compete with guys in the PGA Tour. I mean, if he's averaging, I don't know what he averaged when he was playing on tour this year, but I mean, if Phil's still piping at 300 plus yards, he can still compete. I mean, the guy's got one of the best short games in all of golf, regardless of what tour you play on. I would take Phil's chipping and putting over anybody else's any day of the week, because he's a mastermind around the greens.
So I'll ask then why not the victories in the top 25s? You played in 16.
It's probably just because of ball striking that week. But again, it's not that he can't compete with the guys, the younger guys. It's not like he can't compete with a Dustin Johnson or a Rory McIlroy. He'll still hit the ball equally to and maybe a few distance behind them, but he'll still be able to compete with them. He didn't do it this year, but I think he'll dominate the Champions Tour coming up here. And I think that everybody on the Champions Tour here should be taking notes, because Phil here is here to win. So
I think he's here to win, but look, the Champions Tour has always been noted as where they have an opportunity to be more personable to the fans. Phil is out there to win. Phil likes to gamble. Phil likes to have to cash some checks. And, you know, I don't think to your point, Andrew, when Tiger gets there, I don't think you're going to see him out there as a mainstay, because he can still compete on the big tour. But Phil and Tiger have played a reduced schedule for the last 5 to 7 years anyway. So I think you're going to see him play maybe 5-6 Champions Tour events. The big ones, Senior U.S. Open, you know, Senior.
They're playing all the majors.
Yeah, I think he'll play. I think they'll both play in all the majors. All I'm saying is Phil can still hit it out there. There's no discredit to that. I mean, he hits it farther than any one of us could. But the reality is the game has changed from the days when Tiger and Phil were at the top of the leaderboard. The score of par or chipping out making par is really not as prevalent. I mean, when guys are going 20 under or 30 under or whatever the crazy number is each week, That's why I think it's not so much that he can't compete, because he obviously can still play at that level. It's just in comparison to the rest of the players out there, I just don't think he has, at least this past season, he had not shown the fact that he could score that low. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, time will tell.
You can make that argument that about Tiger. I mean, I believe somebody in this group actually said that's why he has been playing well. That's why he was going to miss the cut at Augusta. But I mean, you can certainly understand where, you know, if you want to purely go off the stats, I get where you're talking from, Andrew. All right, let's move on. Number six happened actually within the last 2 weeks, but was big enough, I think, to the game, and it was good theater. So I think it deserved. Somebody might argue with me that it doesn't need to be this high. I put it up number six for this reason and this reason alone, because of the attention that it brought back to golf and to the individual. And folks, what we're talking about is obviously little Charlie Woods and the performance he put on at the PNC with Tiger. He became a media darling, and to the point that people are criticizing an 11-year-old, which is insane to me. That's asinine.
It's a joke.
Yeah, but he basically, there's an old saying, Tiger doesn't move the needle when he comes out on tour or does tour events. Tiger is the needle. Mm-hmm. So if there's another Tiger Cub and there's an opportunity and there's the opportunity to watch him, that's moving the needle. And for that reason,
I'll start with this. He was the youngest player ever to be at the PNC and play in the PNC. Hands down, that's right from them. So, I mean, straight up, for an 11-year-old to be playing and playing as well as he did, I know we talked about it, he deserves all the credit and the praise in the world. He's a kid, so back off on the whole, like, criticizing is my mindset. Let the kid be a kid, which is, I think, number one, the most impressive thing about Tiger is he's allowed his son to just be a kid. He helps him. He coaches him when he wants, but he's not pressuring him into doing anything, which is great to see. But quite frankly, he is and should be, if his continued development is as good as it is. I mean, we've all seen the stories about the winning and shooting 3-under on 9 holes at the U.S. Kids Qualifier. But he will be, if he continues on this path, the next Woods dynasty. And I will say it, and I will continue to say it. I think he's got the ability. He's got the mindset.
I think you're premature to say that and put him on that, in that pedestal. But I think that there is opportunities, obviously, and Tiger's kid can walk out back and hit golf balls on his little 4-hole golf course. Christian, what do you have to say about little Charlie?
Yeah, obviously Charlie is, I mean, words can't even describe what he did, how great it was to watch him.
Well, let me interrupt you. Who won?
Justin Thomas.
I know, but I mean,
did Justin win that? I mean, nobody talked about the Thomas team winning. I mean, they did. But again, at the end of the day, Charlie was the storyline of that entire tournament.
I know we're talking Charlie, but I'll tell you once from somebody who has watched the game, grown up in the game, we all have been around the game. I think the biggest disservice to that whole weekend was the lack of coverage. I mean, CBS had some crappy TV show on, or NBC had some crap, and like all the major networks had this crappy TV station on. And instead of having this, I mean, this was ratings. I mean, the end of the day, like, we talk about Charlie, we talked about Tiger, we didn't really talk about Thomas and his dad winning, which obviously congratulations, but I mean, this was legitimate TV in a terrible year that we're going through, and they had an opportunity, and quite frankly, I think they blew it.
I mean, it was a recognized event on the Champions Tour. Okay, it was a made for TV type event. But in my opinion, it was the best made for TV event of all the made for TV events that we really have had. It was originally designed as an opportunity for people to participate and so forth. And we didn't even touch on the other one. How about we did, Little John, and then Kuchar's boy. I mean,
it's just too early to say if they're going to be, like, I mean, Andrew, like you said, it's too early to tell if Charlie's going to be the next Tiger. I mean, we all hope that he would be, because we'd love to see it. Mm-hmm. But again, I mean, the kid's 11, you know, he could get to 16 years old, 17 years old, and start playing in USAMs and stuff like that, and not even make it to the finals. I mean, it's too early to tell. We don't know. I hope he is, by all means. But again, it's difficult enough to make it on tour. It's even more difficult enough to back up your dad's resume. And if he could even come close to half of those, that's a hell of a career.
All right. So there you go. We're not going to beat it any further. We're going to wait a little more to see how Charlie develops. And moving on. Number 5. Who would have thought that it would have taken a pandemic, boys? But the golf industry is booming once again. And being a golf course operator, I get to see it firsthand. We went from a great here in the Northeast, I should say, we're having a great first quarter, to no golf, to limited golf, to slightly less limited golf, to, wow, 0 to 100. We passed right by 60. and nationwide golf is up 25%. New equipment sales over $1 billion in a 90-day period. Any thoughts?
No, I think you hit it right on the head. This has been the one thing that we needed to get the needle moving in the right direction again, as bad as that is to say. And by no means are we thankful for it, because obviously there's a lot more issues than just that. But you hit a nail on the head, and I don't think there's any other explanation other than that, to be honest.
Christian?
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I mean, I think golfers, I mean, all around the world, I think they're buying stuff more and more now, just because, you know, again, you know, like the stuff that we're dealing with right now in the world, it's as awful as it is. I think it's great for the game that for what we're doing. I mean, $1 billion in 90 days is something unheard of. I mean, that's crazy. So
people have found the natural opportunity, the social distancing that golf allows. Yep. And I think what you're seeing is, and we beat this to death on the show many times. So I'm just going to conclude it here by saying we're seeing that people are recognizing golf as a great alternative. And this ties right back to athletes at very young ages are being gravitating to golf. I see it in the junior camps explosion. And I think it's a great thing. Overall, the youth movement is set for another generation potentially. So we have to give acknowledgement to the LPGA Tour, and we have to recognize Jin Young Ko, who at age 25 now has 7 wins under her belt, capped off player of the year. She is our number 4 on the top 10 storylines for this season. Guys, I mean, she's already won 2 majors. Mm-hmm. She's the money champion for the last 2 years. Finished 2nd at the U.S. Open this year. What do you got to say?
She's a name that's going to be coming out on the top of the leaderboard for years to come. And I think she's building one hell of a resume for herself. And she's making a name for herself, because we're always used to hearing the Lexi Thompsons, the Lydia Ko's, those kind of names that are always up there. But, you know, she made a statement this year, and I think she's going to be making statements in the years to come. And I can't wait to see her win more and more, hopefully, majors and tournaments down the road.
Well, she didn't have the sophomore slump. That's the big thing. I mean, she burst
up. Yeah, it's golf, though. I mean, everybody goes through their slumps here and there. I mean, we just talked about Jordan's struggles and stuff like that. So, but again, that's the beauty of golf. You can struggle for a season, come back and play really well.
Yeah, I think realistically, like, you kind of nailed it on the head. We've always heard the Lydia Ko's, the Lexi Thomas. I'll even go one step further. Michelle Wee, obviously a little bit more further back. She was the big phenom. Everyone was behind. Obviously, you know, for whatever the reason, in my opinion, I guess I didn't get to see the dominance that we all expected, which kind of stinks. But at the same token, you know, again, when you're that high of a hype, it's hard to live up to. I think that she's going to be a dominant factor. I hope that she's able to continue being a dominant factor, because we mentioned it just a couple of shows ago. And I realistically think that these women are worth watching, and it's great for the game, because now you're seeing more women pick it up and more women are able to follow something that they can say is theirs. And it's going to be great to continue to move forward.
I agree. All right. Top 3. Here we go. Bryson changes the game at the number 3 spot.
I don't know how this only ends at 3, but continue anyway.
Well, you know what? I'm going to leave a little time in the show just for that. So I'm going to throw a stat at you, Christian, not to make this all about stats, but the man is in the wraparound this year through the 2021 season. He is hitting at 337 off the tee. And I have to use this as a comparison. He finished last year tops on the list at 322. The number 5 guy was Rory Rory. If you go back 5 years in 2017, Rory averaged 317 off the box. By comparison, in 2021, he's hitting at 337, like I mentioned. And fifth place is 321 in 2017. 317 was leading. 311 was fifth. I offer those stats not to bore everybody with statistics. They've added on average 15 yards, 20 yards in distance, Christian. Come on.
Yeah, I mean, look, the only thing I'll say on Bryson is that everybody was giving him some type of crap at the beginning of the season with how big he got and how much he was bulking his body up and stuff like that. And it's the power behind the golf ball. But the one thing that he does too is that, yes, he's averaging 337 off the tee, you know, but he's also making the putts when they count. He's also hitting his wedge shots close, and he's also really kind of getting in his own little groove right now. I could see him winning another. I don't know. I could see him winning another major down the road next year. I mean, he's playing very good golf right now, no matter where he plays and when he tees it up. So I think he's changing the game. I think a lot of guys want to be hitting the ball equal to, or if not further than him sometimes. And I think it'll be very interesting to see what happens here with a lot of the, like, you know, like we talked about the youth movement and stuff like that. How are they really going to be kind of affecting their bodies and changing it moving forward?
I think right off the get-go, the thing that I go back to is he validated his change by winning the U.S. Open. End of story. You can cut it right there. Exactly. He got all this negative. He got all this, you know, what is this man doing? He's going to ruin the game. It even brought up the changes and the hysteria of, do we need to roll the ball back? Do we need to do this? I think the two things is, one, like we've mentioned many of times before, he did it in a way that nobody else can do it, because he did it by hard work that he himself has mentioned that, you know, he puts hours upon hours into this. Like, it's not something that he just takes lightly. I also think then this is something that I wrote down as a note, because I knew you were going to bring up something of a stat of the distance in comparison, is technology has changed. Let's face facts. I mean, even in a 5-year span, technology has changed enough that it allows us to hit the ball as an average golfer farther than we've ever done before, with a lot more forgiveness than we ever done before. Well, yeah. But anyway, you're getting off topic. The point is that he's able to hit the ball further with more forgiveness. And quite frankly, he's also hitting it straighter. I mean, it's impressive how far he hits it with how straight he also hits it. So yes, he's changed the game. But quite frankly, if this is the way he finds a competitive edge and it's not cheating, he's following the rules that are in place, he's not doing anything wrong. If anybody wants to beat him, then beat him. If not, then sit back and enjoy the ride, because you're about to
– What's that, Chris? He's making golf courses look shorter. I mean, the guy's driving number 3 at Augusta with a 3-wood. Right. I mean, so he's going to make golf courses look shorter too.
He probably could have played the entire thing with a 3-wood, quite honestly.
He probably could have, honestly. What about driven a lot of guys?
Bottom line is, he's on target. You know who else is on target, Andrew?
Who's that?
Pin golf.
Oh, well, I'm glad you said it, because I was about to bring it up. Our good friends over at Pin Golf, they keep us right on track. They keep us right on yardage. So it's only, you know, fitting that we obviously get to talk about them when we talk about driving yardage and everything like that. We are running a good special with them from now until the end of the year. So we only have a few days left until the holiday season and New Year is up. So please, if you are looking for a last minute gift as we go into the new year, go give them a try. They are doing their sale on their blackjack right now for $35 off plus free shipping by using our code, which is 19HOLE. Again, that's 19 holes. So 19HOLE. And that gets you $35 off plus free shipping. Again, only for a few more days. We're recording this on the 27th. So you only have, again, a couple more days until the new year hits. So make sure you do it. Gotten to see them behind the scenes. They are the real deal, and for a pretty solid price, might I add. So definitely got to give them a good shout out.
All right. So appreciate their support as always. And you know who obviously is on target is our number 2, DJ's Dominance.
Mm-hmm.
Throws up a little 31 under, then he dominates at Augusta. And again, I don't want to bore you with statistics, but he's now up to 24 tour wins, 15 of those since 2016. And here's the kicker. In 98 starts since 2016, which is when I think he really found himself,
mm-hmm.
he's finished in the top 10 52 times. He's got scoring average right now of 66. I mean,
he's building. I think he's already got a Hall of Fame career. Oh, personally, he does have a Hall of Fame career, right? I mean, it's not even. Yeah, I mean, he's just going to continue to dominate the game. And I mean, he's going to win majors. I could even see him winning another major or two, or who even knows at this point. I mean, he could even win all 4 with how good he's playing right now. I mean, the guy, he's favored to win every tournament he tees it up at. It's hard to bet against him. And it's hard for guys to beat him.
For a reason, right?
I mean, I said it a few weeks ago. He's separating himself so far from other golfers right now. When he gets in that mindset and he's really putting well, I mean, look at Boston. Look at Augusta. You know, nobody is touching him. If he gets in that his own mindset and really playing well, and he just lets the course come to him, I don't think anybody can touch him.
Yeah, 1,000% right on. I had one other one in last year. He was in 14 events. He had 3 Ws, 2 seconds, and 9 top 25s, and won the Masters. Not a bad resume for a year, and probably racked up a couple $100 or so. I mean, the dude is untouchable when he has the flat stick rolling. If he has it going, you're 1,000% correct. No one's touching him. He wins. I have a feeling if he can have one good putting week at the PGA and at the Open, he wins those two tournaments and solidifies the career Grand Slam. I think he not only gets the career Grand Slam at some point before he finishes, I think he gets 5, 10 maybe majors just because he hits it so far. If not more. I think he's a dominant force. Surprisingly, people don't give the dude enough credit. Like, you talk to some of these people behind the scenes and they talk about how hard of a worker he is. I mean, he's put a lot of time into his game, especially his wedge game. So, I mean,
Before Brooks, you know, became Brooks and everybody started talking about Brooks, who was he working out with? He's in the gym with DJ. He's
working out with DJ.
And just to clarify, just a point, I think you misspoke. I mean, he's got a U.S. Open. He's got a Masters now. He's got to win the Open Championship and the PGA to solidify the Grand Slam.
Which is what I said.
I thought you said U.S. Open. Okay.
I said the Open and PGA. Okay. Anyway, continue. Sorry.
I do think the Open Championship could present a challenge for him, honestly. But the PGA, he's been there before.
Here's my thing with the Open. My thing with the Open is they now have these driving irons that the dude hits 320 anyway, and he can keep it out of the wind when he really needs to. That I think technology has advanced enough that he has the ability to do things that other guys who may have struggled.
If he goes into the Open Championship with a disciplined mindset that, and I think he's found that since 2016. Mm-hmm. Of Tiger when Tiger, I think, hit one driver in 72 holes. Yeah.
I mean, we can talk about this later down the road too, but it's also at the same point. I just thought of it just now. Is Dustin going to win a Grand Slam before other guys on tour who already have? Like, take Rory. I mean, Rory hasn't played well when it comes to Augusta. And I mean, DJ right now is at his prime.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a topic for a conversation to talk about down the road, obviously. But again,
Does he do the Grand Slam before Brooks or Jordan?
It's the same conversation. We could have that down the road.
I think I'm going to call Vegas and put the money on it.
I'll throw it down right now.
All right. So number one, and you can't have lived through 2020 without this being, and it's going to have to be COVID. I hate to say it that way, but look how it's affected everyone's lives. People have lost loved ones. People have lost their jobs. People have lost their businesses. We're only going to focus, obviously, on the golf aspect. Whereas it was beneficial for the golf industry to bring it back, look at everything that had ended up happening. A Masters in November, a U.S. Women's Open in December, the Open Championship canceled. I mean, guys, thoughts? It's got to tell me I'm wrong.
I think this is where I say again, the DJ, just from a positivity standpoint, I think DJ and Bryson would have been better to be ahead of them just because nobody obviously likes talking about this. We've obviously talked about it plenty. Of course, you know, it's hard not to this year. You mentioned all of them, the November Masters, the U.S. Women's Open in December, you know, all those. I actually think the November Masters was something that was good for the game because, quite frankly, we look forward to it every single year, just like we obviously do the Open and the U.S. Open. But, like, it's hard to sit here and say, like, the Masters passes and we don't get them to have a Masters champion. More importantly, at that point, a Tiger defended Masters championship. So I think that there is a lot of positives. I think we've already discussed it, the golf boom, everything like that's obviously fantastic. It's terrible that it had to happen this way. Nobody ever wanted to have it happen this way. But I also think that what's cool about this situation as a whole is how the PGA Tour handled it when they came back. I mean, guys were being tested, accordingly. We've talked to Kyle, who, you know, is now on the bag, not with Corey Connors, but with another PGA Tour journeyman. And quite frankly, he talks about how he's, you know, how they handle making sure people don't go out, how they make sure that, you know, people are tested and safe. All of those things is incredibly handled well, in my opinion.
I'm going to echo that. I do think the PGA Tour handled it well. As far as a professional sports organization, I think my opinion, hockey probably handled the best as far as the team, but definitely the PGA did spectacular in that regard. And quite honestly, we keep focusing on the PGA, but let's talk the LPGA. They staged a women's open championship, I think only 6 to 8 weeks after things started to simmer down a little bit. So kudos to them as well, mm-hmm. Christian.
Yeah, COVID. I mean, all tours. All tours did a great job. So, yeah. I mean, COVID is just terrible. I mean, obviously it's been such a dreadful year for everybody, and it's been an emotional year for all as well. I mean, again, like a lot of you guys said, November Masters was something different, you know, having the U.S. Open for the women in December, having the Open Championship canceled. You know, it's just something that we were never used to. We weren't accustomed to, right? Now, granted, 2021, we all hope it's a better year, which it will be, right? And, you know, again, coming from a golf side of things as well, I mean, it was a different year. And I applaud the PGA for doing what they did, as well as the LPGA and the Champions Tour. I mean, they all did a phenomenal job getting tournaments in and out, testing people, making sure everybody was safe and healthy. You know, but you really can't say anything good about 2020 at the end of the day, just because of COVID and what it's done to, you know, people, businesses, and all that stuff. You know, it's affected my family. It's affected numerous families across the world. And, you know, it's something that we really hope that just kind of ends soon. So.
Yep. Nothing else to say about that other than, boys, we're going to leave 1 minute here in the show. Debate me. Which ones did I get which ones are out of line?
And
which
I got
ones
one.
All right.
I'm going to say one now, because you guys have given me some crap for it. And he's one of my favorite golfers. And I don't know, we can talk about this upcoming, you know, obviously, but I got to say Rick. I got to say it.
Rick wasn't even a part of the top 10. What are you talking about?
I thought he said anything that was left out.
Oh, left out? 10. Oh, okay. Sorry, I may have misunderstood then. Maybe I misunderstood. But, I mean,
you're saying that Ricky Fowler, and God bless him, but you're telling me Ricky Fowler deserves to be in one of the top 10 news
Is it for his struggles? Did we miss him because of his struggles.
We could have
slotted him in number 8 next to Jordan.
I love Rick.
I think the only one you got out of place, in my opinion, just because of what it could mean for the game, I think Callaway deserved to be a little higher. That's my opinion. Just again, going backtrack a little bit, the ability that they could bring to the game is so much more. So I think that one should have been slated higher. That's my only one. So.
Right. You could have flipped that with some other one. I agree with that. But so I misunderstood your question. I apologize.
Well, thank you for acknowledging that. Right? I greatly appreciate that. But I'll tell you where you're going to have an opportunity to throw his name into the mix. Next show, we've talked about recap of 2020 and good riddance to it, by the way. Next week, we talk about 2021 and our predictions for what we're going to see. Does DJ win a major? Does Tiger come back at Augusta? Does Charlie Woods burst on the scene? Just kidding. Does Ricky Fowler make it to Augusta? Interesting questions. We're all going to have a little debate while we're sitting here at the 19th hole. And Andrew, when is that show actually going to take place?
Because we have
a programming change coming up.
Yeah, so big programming change. We're going to be highlighting on our social media as well. I actually already updated it for our video that's going to be coming out here. So if you're watching us on their YouTube channel, you will see that already at the bottom. So spoilers may have been happening if you're watching the whole thing at this point. But moving into 2021, as we go into our podcast only, as again, just based off of, you know, realistically setting up for the golf week as a whole, we're going to be moving to a Monday, Thursday show timeframe release date. So we're going to be having that as our tentative one. We may change that if necessary based on scheduling and stuff like that. But our new podcast only episodes will be airing every Monday and Thursday, mainly on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, but we can be found on practically every major podcast outlet. If you can't find us on yours, please send us a DM, send us a comment, whatever way works best for you. Let us know. We're always looking for ways to make sure that people can listen to us. So we're happy to try to work with those that we're not already with to make sure that gets set up. So hopefully I covered everything. I think I wrote those all down so I can make sure I don't mess anything up.
Well played, sir. All right, folks. Christian, parting shot.
I mean, like Andrew just said, I'm super excited about having two shows now this week. We got a lot of material to talk about, a lot of great times, a lot of great laughs coming up. So I'm excited for it. You know, hope you guys have a great night. Thanks for tuning in again. And that was my final thought. I'm just very excited.
Andrew, real quick.
Real quick. Again. Yeah, real quick. 2020, terrible. Top 10 news stories. You definitely hit it on the head. I think those are all solid ones. Looking forward to our talk later here this week on our look ahead to the 2021. And hope everyone had a good holiday. I know we did. And that's my final thoughts.
And I'm going to wrap it up with, folks, thanks for taking your time to listen to us. Hit it long and straight because, Christian?
Short and crooked.
It beats short and crooked.
Beats and I will get it eventually, I promise.
This is now 2 weeks that you've messed this up. We got to figure this out.
I know. I'm sorry, guys. I will get it down eventually, I promise. That's my homework for next show.
All right, folks, have a good night.
Join Golf Talk Live as they take the show on the road to Ireland. Six rounds of golf, six nights in Dublin, Portmarnock, Royal Dublin, Balltray Links, the K Club, the European Club, and Portmarnock Links. Go to Ireland with Golf Talk Live from September 25th to October 4th, 2021. Email Alan at golftalklive.net. That's A-L-L-E-N at golftalklive.net for more details.